WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Everyone from Washington to Wall Street to small towns across the country are trying to figure out how to improve our economy. Commentator Maureen Carrigan has a review of a new book entitled Homestead by William Saron. She says it should be required reading for anyone who wants to understand how things got so bad.
In his introduction to Homestead, William Saron says, "I wrote this book because I came to understand that if I did not, no one would." That's a pretty audacious claim to make in this era of publishing glut, when everybody from Norman Schwarzkopf to David Bowie's ex-wife gets to tell his or her life story. And when even the history of corn makes the must-read lists, what kind of story doesn't get told these days? Well, try selling stories about dying steel mills and the workers who spent their lives in them. Saron is right. Tales of contemporary blue-collar workers don't much appeal to a largely white-collar audience. Probably no one else would have bothered to write this book about a Pennsylvania town called Homestead that for most of this century was America's greatest steel center. And for sure, no one else could have matched the impassioned eloquence of Saron. He manages to weave in details about the rise of the Steelworkers Union, explanations of how steel is made, and portraits of ordinary citizens as well as captains of industry like Andrew Carnegie. Saron has written an epic of American labor history that deeply respects but doesn't lazily romanticize workers or unions. Danny DeVito should have taken a tutorial from Saron before he made that bore of a hagiography called Hoffa. Saron's sweeping narrative begins in 1883 when Carnegie bought the Homestead Steelworks and turned it into a sprawling empire. Shortly after, the modern American labor movement was born at Homestead during the bloody strike of 1892. Steelworkers, their wives, and children occupied the works and the town and fought armed Pinkerton detectives as well as the Pennsylvania militia. Never before had American workers risen up in such numbers and with such desperation, but they lost. And it wasn't until 1936 that the Homestead Works were finally unionized. Saron takes us through the boom years of the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. Then the industry began downsizing. By the mid-1980s, a depression far worse than the Great Depression had hit the steel industry. More than 150,000 workers had been laid off, 40% of the industry's workforce. Remember, this is during the 1980s, the decade when all of us supposedly got rich. As he describes the struggles of the unemployed steelworkers, Saron himself struggles with a nostalgia for the working-class culture that's been decimated and a sober recognition that the lost jobs were often brutal and soul-destroying. But where are the well-paying alternatives? One steelworker Saron talks to explains that, "We came a long way. We were, how would you say it, people nobody thought much of, and we became halfway decent people. Almost middle-class people." He pauses, and then he says, "They don't want you to be middle-class." Saron has to turn aside at this point because the steelworker is crying. Nobody Saron talks to has a solution to this ongoing economic disaster. But it's early days yet. Let's hope Bill Clinton thinks of something.
Maureen Carrigan teaches at Georgetown University.